Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So nice to have you with us today. Everyone, this, for those of you who don't know, is Catherine Best, who we've been praying for and who we talked about today again. And about both you and your mom, so. Okay. Well, folks, there is so much today. I think it's interesting. First of all, Advent. When I came here, well, this is almost 6 years ago now, when I said we were going to celebrate Advent, you thought that I was, you know, saying about the world was going to end. And we had some interesting battles about that. But it's the beginning of the church year, and it's the only time in the year where we actually celebrate both the coming of Jesus as a child and him coming as the Pantocrator, which in Greek is the judge of all at the end. And I think it's important. I mean, we only do this for 4 Sundays. But the judge of all is coming to judge peace, joy, hope, and love. And there's nothing wrong with looking at those, is there? All right, so Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, coming. You know, this season is only peculiar to Western churches. But it is in the East, too, but it's got a little different feel in the East because they celebrate it for 6 weeks, not 4 weeks. Okay? You know, and so there's some disagreement. Where we first saw this was at the Council of Ephesus in 431 A.D. Now, we know Ephesus, okay, Ephesians from the Bible. And that's when the season that had been celebrated in the churches was made an official observant. Okay? All right, so why do we even have a church year? Well, as you go through in life, don't you have major events you keep track of? Happy birthday? Anniversaries? Okay? So, if we do it in our regular life, wouldn't we do it for church too? And after all, we have to decide when we're going to celebrate Christmas, when we're going to celebrate Easter, the Ascension, the Transfiguration, Advent. So we've just made a church calendar. So it gives us chances to do things. By the way, Sarah and I talked about why we were wearing green, I think, one time. And I said it's the celebration of Epiphany. And then I got to thinking after I got home, we're in Pentecost. We're not in Epiphany because Epiphany is January 6th and on. So I wanted to publicly apologize because I screwed up on that one. But, you know, when we look at this, it's something I think is really important. And not only do I think it's important, but Martin Luther thought it was important too and invented that, the Advent wreath. Why? Well, we're using it to commemorate this season, the 4 Sundays before Christmas. Now, folks, I hate to tell you this, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Probably in between March and May somewhere is what the real conjecture is. But we celebrate it the 25th. Why? Because there were 4 religions that celebrated the 25th as the birth of their God. And here's where the early church fathers did something I thought was wonderful. They took pagan holidays, pagan churches, made a Christian holiday out of it, put a Christian church on it, and within a generation, it wasn't pagan anymore. It was Christian. You know, it's not a bad idea. You know, don't beat them, join them, and win. But anyway, as we get in here, if you notice, there's 4 purple candles, and there's 1 pink candle. If you grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and in some Lutheran churches that do high service, this candle is special because that holiday is called Gaudent Sunday. Guess what Gaudent means? Joy. Okay? And it's the only time of the year that the priest would wear a pink vestment. Remember seeing that one time a year when you were a kid? That's why. Because we figured joy is so important, we give it its own Sunday, its own look, its own vestment. Boy, what a Sunday distress. Joy. Too bad Betty's not here. Okay? She chooses joy. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that is so important. Now, the other thing is Advent really took on life in southern France, and they were the first ones in the Roman Catholic Church to adopt the Protestant, you know, Advent wreath. Oh, now it's celebrated in every church, including the East. But one of the things about the south of France I find very interesting, it was the home of the Merovingian, see if I can get that out without screwing it up, kings of France. That's when we get back into the Dagoberts and things. Now, the first king of that was Charlemagne, Charles Le Magne. You know, Charles the Great. In German, it's Karl der Große. Why in German? Well, because Gaul, those people, are where both the Germans and the French came from. They're related. In fact, if you really take a look at the languages together, it's the same language with a little bit different pronunciation, different spellings. They're the same people. Now we know why World War I was so interesting and they could have these Bibles. It was, you know, battles. It was people against people that were related. But anyway, one of the things I find interesting about the Merovingian kings is they claim descent from Jesus. Mary Magdalene. There's that story. Mary Magdalene went to the south of France with the daughter of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and she had kids, and so the Merovingian kings were descended through that. Getting a little deep, okay? But however we feel of it, they believed it. In fact, they believe it so strongly that the Roman Church actually sent one of the crusades against southern France to eliminate those people. The Cathars is what they were called. Okay? But if you saw the Da Vinci Code, that's that same theology. Okay? That's where it came from. All right. So when we start looking at this, we're looking at both the coming of Christ as a child, coming of Christ at the end. We have two themes there. Are they related? Yeah, they are. Okay? It's the same person coming. That isn't to say he really left. That's one of the things I get a kick out of. You know, I do believe that Jesus walks among us. And, you know, some of us have probably met him not knowing that. Wouldn't it be interesting to know that you actually talk to Jesus when you get up there and you go like this? You know, we used to, Peggy brought this up one time. You know, if Jesus and the apostles came into your church, would you give them communion? If you're in the Missouri Synod, you've got to be a member of that church. And I think I told you this story that we were sitting there in one of our meetings, and one of the pastors, they said, well, what would you do? He said, well, I'd have to sit down and ask. Eloy Gonzalez, who is the second or first vice president of the Texas district, looked at him. Actually, he swung his head so far you think his neck cracked. And he says, you and I are going to talk afterwards. Well, yeah. You know, that's like the story of the guy that comes in and sits on the back of the church and hasn't had a bath or wash, you know, anything like that. And everybody's looking at that. Finally, one of the elders goes over and says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go. Well, why? He says, well, you're just dirty. Okay, walks out the door. Comes back a few minutes later, walks in, walks down center aisle, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your new pastor. Good introduction, isn't it? Do we live our faith or not? Well, I think one of the important things that we deal with is this today is hope. What does hope mean to you? It's going to get better. Something might come. Does that mean it's going to come or might come? Anticipation, things of expectations, those are all good. That's English. That's not what it means in the Bible. What do you mean? Hope in the Bible means certainty. So So when I say, I hope, or when Jesus says hope, it means you can make book on it and make money off it. It's going to happen. I was thinking about, how can I, you know, explain this one? My cat this morning, have you ever seen Angus? Angus Muldoon Tiger, what a name. Anyway, Angie likes to eat. Yeah. Anyway, he was setting up where I had the food. One of the things I do, I make him jump up to eat and drink. You know, so he gets at least some exercise. But anyway, he's sitting in front of the food dish, just staring at it. And I said, Angus, are you out of food? Meow. I said, do you want me to fill that for you? Meow. So I filled it for him. And boy, when he eats, he purrs so loud you can hear him in another room. The joy he puts out when he eats, you know, oh, it's all right. But he knew if he sat there, he was hoping I would feed him, knowing that that would be a certainty. So the anticipation, everything you said is correct. But he also knows, hey, it's going to come. That's what it means in the Bible when we look at hope. You know, I was thinking, one of the other things, you know, things go through my mind. And last week we did a hymn to the melody, I Know My Redeemer Lives. That's Duke Street is what the name of it. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. Is that certainty? Okay, I know that my Redeemer lives. Is it hope? Yes. But that's that different definition of hope I was talking about. In the church, when we hope, we know. Okay, there's wisdom in that. One of the biggest churches that was the center of the Christian universe for 1,500 years was Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. You've ever seen pictures of this, that huge dome. Okay? What it means in Greek is holy wisdom. To know. Wisdom. I know that my Redeemer lives. Folks, when we start looking at that, especially with that definition of hope, the coming of our Savior. We know He came as a child because we celebrate it. But He's also coming back, not to be a mean judge, but to invite us into heaven. That's our hope. That's a certainty. So when we are thinking about hope, we're proclaiming to the world our certainty that our Redeemer lives and He will be back with us. You know, and as we talked about, expectation, anticipation, assurance are all part of that. You know, we usually sing that hymn, Blessed Assurance. It takes on a little bit different meaning when you know the hope means He's coming. But we've got to be ready. And as this is Sleepers Awake Sunday, as the Scripture tells us, don't be taken by surprise, be ready. Have your life reflect that life in Christ. May this life in Christ give you the peace and the hope which passes all human understanding. Amen.